ナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブツナマンダーブ
We begin by reading one of Shinran Shonin's Wasan hymns. This Wasan, I think, is particularly meaningful for us today as we gather here on the occasion of Father's Day. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho o negai shimasu. Shakyamuni and Amida are our father and our mother, full of love and compassion for us, guiding us through various skillful means. They bring us to awaken the supreme Shinjin. Namo Amida Butsu. 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 I'd like to begin by wishing all of our fathers who are gathered here this morning a happy Father's Day. As I observe Father's Day myself, as a father and also as a son, I'm thinking about my father and some of the ways in which he has nurtured and cared for me over the years, and cared for others, not just me, actually. And you may be wondering, well, how could he be a father to others as I'm an only child? So, but my father has hosted many exchange students over the years at our house. We had students. Our first student was from Sweden when I was probably about, well, maybe 10 years old. And then a couple of years later, we had a student from Japan. When I was in high school, we had students from Iceland and Argentina. Even after I left home, my parents hosted students from Estonia and Russia. So they've hosted students from all over the world. One of the students who we became very close to was Nana Hanayama, the Japanese student who stayed with us. And of all those students who've stayed with us over the year, Nana is the one that we still keep in touch with the most, and we're still kind of the closest with her. So I was probably about 12 years old or so when she was staying with us, a very obnoxious preteen boy. And I had never had the opportunity to terrorize a sibling or an older sister up until that point. And so I gave her a very, very hard time. The only words I learned in Japanese while she was staying with us were, "Itai mo," which means something like, "Ouch!" Oh! And so, I have deep regret. But we're friends, and we've sort of grown through that. And when she sees me now, she gets to give me a hard time. She says, "It's hard to believe that that obnoxious kid grew up to be a Buddhist priest." she's very sweet, and she would very much miss the flavors of home while she was staying with us. And from time to time, her parents would send her care packages of goodies from Japan. She would get things like okonomiyaki mix. And she was from Kobe, so there's, of course, a famous okonomiyaki area. And ajinori, you know, the dried seaweed. And so I remember when she first got the dried seaweed, I thought, wow, those are really small origami papers that your mom sent. She says, "Oh, no, this is food." I said, "Oh, really? What is it?" She says, "It's, let's see." She got her dictionary, looked it up. Seaweed. Ooh, you know, I'm from the Midwest, right? We don't eat those sort of exotic foods out here. You know, kids bring seaweed, nori and, you know, kim and the seaweed, they bring it for their snacks for school lunch. But where I grew up, we didn't get to eat seaweed. So poor Nana, we gave her such a hard time. And the first time she brought out the seaweed, she gave us to us, you know, we took a bite and kind of politely, me not so politely, sort of, And then we said, "Oh, here, maybe the dog will eat it." We had a pet dog at the time, and the dog would eat anything, so we gave it to the dog. And the dog did this thing. Have you ever seen a dog kind of roll around on the ground, usually when they find like a dead bird or something like that? So the dog started rolling in the seaweed. We thought it was hilarious. Poor Nana was like, "No!" The dog's name was Oscar. "No, Oscar, no!" But so, you know, she would miss these flavors of home, and when she got the care package, she would always make some kind of a Japanese meal for herself. And, you know, oftentimes it was something like curry rice, which she said, this is Japanese children's macaroni and cheese. And I thought, well, it doesn't look like macaroni and cheese. But I have to say that was the first Japanese food I ever ate. And I enjoyed it very much. But then another time, she got the okonomiyaki mix. She made okonomiyaki. She said, this is Japanese pizza. And I said, again, you know, neither of these things contain cheese, which are the key ingredients, but, you know, we also enjoyed that. And then, at one point she received a tempura batter from her mom, like a package of tempura batter. She said, okay, well, now we'll make some tempura. But, you know, tempura is such a special treat. I don't want to make it by myself. I want to share it with the other Japanese exchange student who lived in a town about 15 miles over, also another small country town. And so these two girls, Nana and Yoko was the other girl's name. I still remember Yoko from Osaka. They were, you know, these two girls from the Kansai area. They would get together and they would just jabber away in Japanese and giggle and laugh, and we couldn't understand a word they were saying, of course. Probably saying, oh, my host brother's so annoying. Mine too. Oh, there he is. Look at him. He's so obnoxious. But they would have a lot of fun together, and so they decided they would make tempura. And so they got the cooking oil, and they put it in the pot, and neither of them were high school girls. So high school students in Japan, their job is not to learn how to cook. It is to study, do homework, study. You know, so usually they would not be in the kitchen while their parents were cooking that often, but they would be in their room studying away. So they thought, okay, you know, well, let's see. Now I think I've seen my mom or, you know, my grandma make this before. Let's see. I know we need a lot of hot oil. We need hot oil. So they poured got the frying pan out and set aside the oil and turned on the frying pan. So first we need to get the pan really hot. Really, really hot. And so they turned on, we had an electric stove, and they cooked with it before, and Japan is all gas stoves. They said, well, electric stoves take a long time to heat up. It's a long time to heat up, so we better turn it on for a long time to get it nice and hot. So they turned it on, and then they started, you know, the first thing they did was switch on the burner to high, and then they cut up all the cabbage and cut up, you know, the different vegetables, got out the shrimp, got everything they were going to use to make tempura, and waited till the pan was nice and hot, almost red hot. And then they poured in the oil. Right? So in the meantime, my father had been reading on the sofa and had dozed off to take a little nap. And my mother, as she would like to do, had been rearranging the furniture in the living room. So the arrangement of furniture was completely different. She just couldn't figure out where the glass coffee table should go. So she thought, well, for now, I'll just put it behind the sofa. Well, we sort of figure out where it should go. And so she sort of tucked it behind the sofa. And so the arrangement of furniture was you had the sofa, then the glass coffee table behind the sofa, and then the kitchen was sort of this order of furniture. So my father is now dozed off to take a nap, awakened abruptly to the sound of two screaming young girls. I was sitting there at the kitchen counter watching them, kind of bemused by this flames bursting out, big conflagration on top of the stove. My dad wakes up immediately, first hears the screaming, then hears the smoke alarm. So he is a retired former police officer, of course, so he springs into action. He jumps up, jumps over the sofa, foot on the coffee table, did not break by some miraculous quality of glass, and then sprinted into the kitchen, and then very quickly but calmly put the stove pan on the top of the pan, took it outside onto the back porch, and went back into the kitchen, picked up the phone, and ordered pizza for them. I am sure that pizza was the most delicious food that they had eaten all week, and also was very comforting for them to have that flavor. And so in this verse we have from Shindan Shonin, he writes, Shakyamuni and Amida are our father and our mother, full of love and compassion for us, guiding us through various skillful means. They bring us to awaken the Supreme Shinjin. So Shakyamuni Buddha was the historical Buddha who lived in India about 2,500 years ago. And he was a deep, profound student of the truth. He meditated for many years and he became enlightened. He became an awakened Buddha. The word Buddha means awakened one. So he had awakened to great truth. And in his teachings, he set out to express that truth to others. And one of the ways in which he expressed that was through telling us about Amida Buddha. So this Buddha we have here at the center of our shrine is Amida Buddha. So Shakyamuni Buddha was a person, just like you and me. He lived here in this world. Amida Buddha was a Buddha who Shakyamuni taught about and shared these teachings. Amida Buddha is described by Shakyamuni as the Buddha of great compassion who embraces all beings, with no discrimination between man, woman, good, bad, no discrimination according to nationality or race, no discrimination according to my child, someone else's kid, right? And so when Shindan Shonin says Shakyamuni and Amida are our father and our mother, saying they have this great compassion that treats us and cares for us as their parent, has that deep concern, the same concern that we have for our own children, that we receive from our own parents, but that concern has no distinction, no preference from one to another. And guiding us through skillful means, so in all sorts of different skillful ways, perfectly suited to the circumstances of each individual, perfectly suited to each person's aptitude and understanding. They guide us and bring us to awaken the Supreme Shinjin. Shinjin is kind of a difficult Buddhist term. The essential meaning of Shinjin is to entrust ourselves to the teaching of the Buddha. When we hear the teaching of the Buddha, to recognize that, oh yeah, that's about me. That's about my life. To entrust ourselves to that truth and wisdom of the Buddha, and in that way to become awakened, to realize deep and true understanding of the Buddha through birth in the Pure Land of Amida Buddha. That's the way in which, in our tradition, this awakening is realized, through going forth to be born in the Pure Land of Amida Buddha. And the way in which that is accomplished is through this entrusting. So for Nana, my father was not her biological father. In many ways, probably very different from her father. Didn't speak Japanese, had a different personality, lived in a different place, but he was able to care for her, entrusted with her safekeeping in our home, and she was able to then trust him to take care of her, even when she almost set the kitchen on fire, right? Just as with one's own child, if I went over to one of your houses and almost set your kitchen on fire, you'd probably say, okay, Sensei, you can go home now, right? But with Nana, just as with his own child, he said, okay, let's not do that again. Let's order some pizza, right? And so she could experience that kindness and caring of a father from someone who was not her own biological father, right? She could experience that we call ofukuro no aji, that delicious flavor of mom's cooking, right? From the Domino's pizza, right? That sense of being cared for and nurtured that can be expressed by anyone, man or woman, one's own biological parents often are some of the first to share that with us. And then as we go on in through life, we meet many people, many teachers, coaches, friends, parents, all kinds of people throughout our lives can care for us and nurture us in this way. So living this life of the Nembutsu, we're encouraged to turn our ears to the Buddha, to turn our minds to the great compassion of Shakyamuni and Amida, and to be guided to recognize all the people throughout our lives who care for us and nurture us as our fathers do. So on this occasion of Father's Day, I encourage each of you to reflect upon your relationship with your own father, but also those other people who have shared that wisdom and kindness and caring of the Father with you. And whether your father is here with us in San Mateo, somewhere else in the country or the world, or now has crossed over to the other shore, to recognize that that kindness and caring and support is still present each and every day of our lives. So I'll conclude my words here. Now let us read, I invite you to hear together with me once again these words of Shindan Sho. Please join me in Gassho. Shakyamuni and Amida are our father and our mother, full of love and compassion for us, guiding us through various skillful means. They bring us to awaken the supreme Shinjin.
Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namanda 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 Butsu.